fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're here again today with our guest this week, Gabby Pinedo. Gabby is a mother of four. She's married to a wonderful man, Chris, and they live in Corpus Christi, Texas. And I knew Gabby years ago here in Ann Arbor area when we were both involved in an organization called University Christian Outreach, which is a lot like FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. She was just sharing her own conversion story yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to hear the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the program right there on your computer or download it on whatever device you have. You can listen to it whenever it's convenient for you. But welcome back, Gabby.
Thank you, Peter. This has been very good.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here in town. Why don't we pick up where we left off yesterday, just sharing a little bit. You were university age, your parents had been here, moved back to Mexico City, and you were passionately serving the Lord and with other young people. And where did the Lord lead you from there?
Well, you know, as I said before, you know, in my culture, you don't leave home even if you're 21. Maybe nowadays, but back then, till you were ready to get married. So for my parents to go back and me asking them to leave me here was a major, major decision. Also, my dad did not have the financial means to keep supporting my schooling. It was my first step in faith in a practical way, but it was so strong in my heart. And I remember telling my dad, you know, Dad, if I don't get the finances to continue school, you'll see me back in Mexico. There's no problem. So he gave me the summer. And he was not very happy about it. He did not give me his blessing. And that broke my heart. Mm-hmm. But as the head of a home, you have to trust the Lord, but you are also very practical. And he was setting everything on the table. He says, Gabby, I just do not have the means. I don't know where you're going to get the money. That period of time was so significant in my life because it set up the seeds of faith that later, when I continue sharing my story, bore tremendous fruit. But it began back there because what ended happening was I was in class and the teacher announced that there were some scholarships that were out there that people were not applying for them. And I raised my hand and I said, well, I'm a foreigner. Does that apply to me? Oh, sure. So I applied for a scholarship. And I ended getting, because I had been in school already 2 years, I needed two more, which actually became three. I ended getting a scholarship. You know, I had never worked in my life because I was middle class. My dad always provided for me. And suddenly I need to work. So I found work at the university campus. And that period of time was, you know, it's not a big deal for a teenage American girl to work as a waiter, to do, you know, babysitting. I have never done babysitting. I have never been a waiter.
Yeah, in Latin America or in Mexico, that wouldn't happen if you're middle class. Oh, other people, the quote-unquote, the lower classes would do all that. You'd have servants or you'd have cooks.
Right.
You'd have nannies. You'd have all those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yes. Now, my mom did teach me how to cook. And, you know, we did have, you know, a maid at home. But, you know, she was trained me, you know, to know how to do things. But I remember getting a job at Eastern Michigan University cafeteria. I had to wear my hat and my apron. I was so self-conscious, Peter. I remember I was supposed to clean the tables and I will turn around and wait that nobody will see me, run out, clean them quickly and go back in. And the Lord began to work in me in a way of saying, you know, my dad always taught us that any job is a good job and that you do it to the best of your capability and you respect everybody from the guy who opens the door to the... And my dad was such a gentleman, always calling people by name. If he knew you were the doorkeeper, he will ask you, what is your name? And he will refer to the person. So I learned a lot of good things from him. But here I am, you know, with my pride and everything. But I knew that the Lord wanted me here. I knew that the Lord was doing something in me. So I started working. I learned a lot. But at the same time that, you know, I was going full time, I was working. The sisters, the Servants of God's Love, where Betsy's part of, Sister Betsy is part of, back then they were not a religious order officially. I began living with them because I was looking into becoming, you know, kind of a single consecrated way of life for myself. So I was going through the whole discernment process. And they very, very generously, actually, in advance, gave me the money to be able to register to school. Then God provides a scholarship. Then I start working. And then quite a few times, people will send money to me without me knowing who they were because they knew about my situation. So you see, those years were so key for me in the building of my faith that I had responded to the Lord to a deep call to stay here, and really with blind faith because my dad was not going to give me money. And God began to send me, but at the same time, he required of me to work. I had to study hard. I had to keep up a GP for the scholarship. You know, I had to renew it every year. And when I finished college, after 5 years, finally, you know, I had paid back to the sisters who had loaned me the money. I graduated cum laude, which was pretty good, you know, for a foreigner, you know. You know, there was one situation is worth mentioning because I was short in one semester, like $100, $150 for extra, you know, books and all that kind of thing. And I remember that I didn't pray about it. It was wishful thinking. And I set up in my mind this perfect situation. If I could get a job close to my house, maybe tutoring, I mean, I just put the perfect situation, you know. 2 days later, my good friend from Nicaragua calls me, Nora, Gabby. There is this family from Spain coming, you know, this other family. They have some kids that need to be tutored in English. They asked me to do it. I cannot teach them. They live close to your house, and they're going to pay $150.
Oh, my.
Just exactly how I had pictured this thing, you know. And I tell you, I said, I'll take it. I hung up, and I just fell on my knees, and I just wept. And I said, Lord, you love me so much. You probably were having fun listening to me setting up this situation that I didn't even ask for. And you gave it to me down to the last detail I had asked. That increased my faith so much, Peter. It was amazing. Now, it's not like then I began to, give me this and give me that. It was just an overwhelmness of the sovereignty of God providing for me. So, you know.
Isn't it interesting? $150 is not a lot of money. When you're a student, it feels like a lot of money. But it's a small thing, but it was a big thing.
Because it was a big thing.
That going back to what you mentioned on yesterday's program, as a 12-year-old, in understanding Christ, a dimension of Jesus, that he wants to be your friend.
Yes.
Not just your buddy, but he's your Lord and he's your Savior, but he's your God. But he said, I call you friend.
Yes.
You know, he says to us in the scripture. And that's really a key thing. He spoke to you early on in your life, and he showed you again and again and again, you know, because you leaned on your friend.
Yes.
You leaned on him, and you trusted him, and he's able to demonstrate that as a result.
Well, and here, you know, I'm already 21, you know, and I have been growing in the Lord. But these are so practical steps. You know, you could be praying and all this spiritual thing up here. When down to earth, you know, I was in need. You know, I was in need. Now, eventually, through the discerning process that the sisters had, I discerned, you know, that the Lord wanted me to get married. And, well, that's, you probably have talked to priests and, you know, how they get their call and everything.
Sure.
You know, I was so set on living this life of single because I love their expression. I love what they did. I love the options of service. And it was in a trip to Nicaragua, you know, I was part of a team that was serving there, that I was, you know, under mentorship, you know, from one of the sisters, that she says, I want you to go to this talk that Paco Gabrielides was giving on the role of the wife, you know, and the husband working together, serving the kingdom of God. I was in charge of working with the youth. So I say, well, why do I have to go to that? You know, she says, it'll be good for you, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there listening to, you know, Paco pump up the women, you know, and you are one with your husbands in the mission, you know, and this and that. And, you know, I'm sitting there. And the next thing I know, the thought came, huh, I guess I can also find a spouse and serve the love together. I mean, I had no thought about it because I have always been so driven and competitive, you know, with tennis and everything, that to me, the best way to serve God was wholeheartedly by myself and not have a companion. You know, it was like, I didn't appreciate marriage life at that point that much. Well, what happened was in that trip, that thought of, you know, serving the Lord with someone, the Lord kept coming, bringing it over and over. It got annoying. I was so distracted. I was so unread. You know, there was this commotion in my heart. And as I was talking and sharing with the person and helping me discern, and I start having all these emotions that I never had before, you know, this. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I said, look, why are you doing this to me? I want to give my whole life to you, you know. I mean, and it began the process of having to see how both calls are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah. One is not more than the other. They're just different expressions of it.
In that journey, he was also bringing you to a place where he wanted you to understand how he made you.
Yes.
And who you are.
Yes, absolutely.
He loved your zeal. He loved the single-hearted devotion you had. But he also said, okay, there's a part of my plan I want you to understand now.
Yes.
It's how I made you and the vocation I'm calling you to.
Right.
But you're feisty. It was
horrible. And Sue gave me this, exercises and in prayer and everything. But I tell you, it was not an easy time, but it was a beautiful time. But it was suddenly the realization that you have plans, but God has something else. And you are like, okay, should I want what you want? I mean, it was my first really experience of the Lord saying, do you really want what I have for you, or you want to? And Paco, during that time that we were serving there, we were sitting outside. He was just checking how I was doing. And I told him all these things. And he just said this phrase. He said, Gabby, the Lord is not going to love you any less if you choose marriage, because in his eyes, they're the same. And you wish God will come down, really, appear to you in this ecstasy thing and say, I want you to do this. And his words, because to me, it meant less. And he said, no, I'm going to love you. And that hit the light bulb. And the next few weeks, the more I pray about it and came back to the States, they were celebrating, this group of women, 10 years of their, beginning. There were all kinds of celebrations and everything. And I could not feel part of them anymore. Mm-hmm. It was a realization in my spirit. And I was so, and then one day walking, before they went on retreat, Sue asked me, well, what do you want to do, Gabby? We've been discerning 2 months, And it just came out of my mouth. I want to get married. She goes, okay, that's it. Yeah. And this heaviness, this, burden just was lifted off my shoulder. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So then I had to go through, I finished school and, just the whole process. It's not like I went outside right away, of this group of women with a fishing rod trying to catch a husband, I mean, that was not me. I thought I need time to adapt back to life outside, this beautiful expression.
I mean, you're looking at some kind of religious life or single for the Lord, and now you're moving into a different, so you're transitioning out.
Yes.
And there's a new way of thinking about your life.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you had a plan of what you wanted to do, and you were certain that's what you were going to do.
Yes.
And the Lord just said, time out. Would you like to, you want me to come along with what you're doing, or do you want to come along with what I'm doing?
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and so.
And God provided a beautiful Mexican family who were part of this ecumenical community, Anilu's ceramics parents. So I moved in with them. I lived with them 3 years. And those years were wonderful to grow in appreciation of marriage life.
Oh, it's wonderful. And it's Jesus promises, he's the good shepherd. He's the one who disciples each and every one of us if we allow him to lead us. And he'll use people, circumstances, all kinds of things. But the key thing is your heart was seeking him. I mean, thinking of Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. And that's really what you wanted.
Right.
And you thought you had a picture of where it was supposed to go.
Right.
But Jesus said, that's your picture. Let me show you. Let me adjust it a little bit. I do want you to live wholeheartedly for me. You're not going to live any less for me as a married woman than you would as a single woman. So come on, let me show you the adventure I want you to live. So friends, that call is for you too, to walk with Jesus in the same way. Have a great day. Tune in again tomorrow. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.